Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you and that you brought the sunshine, which I'm very pleased about. And
because I don't like the rain.
No. Oh, some do. Oh, well, that's okay. We'll let you get away with that. No, bless you all and welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. What is your expectation? And don't answer that question, it's just a question. What is your expectation this morning? You may have different needs and different things in your mind. But let me reassure you, if you come into God's presence, those things will fall away and God will bless you as you praise Him. And that's the reason for coming this morning, is to worship and praise God. And so I'd like to just say, a bit later on, the children will have some things to do, so that'll be fine, okay. Stephen, notices, please. Thank you.
I'm told by a little bird that it's Carol's birthday coming up this week. Is that right, Carol?
Yes.
Yes, 18 again, I'm told. Is that right? And so we've got an 18-year-old Carol. Anybody else had a birthday in the last couple of days or got one coming up? Don't want to miss anybody? No. So if we can sing happy birthday to Carol, please, that would be lovely. Is a new great-grandchild. Do you know the name of this wonderful great-grandchild?
It's a name I can't remember.
That's what happens with its great-grandchildren, isn't it? And you haven't got the piece of paper with you, Colin? Well, there's a wonderful little baby being born. It's a girl. Well, God bless this little girl, and He knows her name, and we can be as sure of that. Could we put on our... We've got a little notice, a video, just promoting the Christmas concert that is coming up on December the 1st. There's a notice there. Doors open at 6:30. Doesn't say on the poster or even on the website what time the event starts, but it finishes at 9. So the doors open at 6:30, and it's a special Christmas concert with a specific message from J. John, who will give us a Christmas gospel message. So it's a good news message. It's for some. It's an event to take someone to who would like to know who Jesus is, what Christmas is all about, what becoming a Christian is all about. So it's not an event to be full of people who go to church every week. It's an event to bring someone to. And so that's on the 1st of December. If you could put the video on for us, Joe.
Hi, I'm J. John. I am looking forward to coming to Torbay on Friday the 1st of December at the Riviera Centre for the Christmas Carol Service. I love Christmas. What a great opportunity. What a wonderful sacred season. Can I encourage you, seize the opportunity. Come along and bring a plus one. Bring a friend, a neighbour, a colleague, a relative, and let's help them in their journey of faith as we celebrate Christmas together. See you on Friday, December the 1st.
Let's all come to prayer. And as you close your eyes, try to focus on Jesus, because that's why we're here. focus in on Jesus. And each one of us may have a different view of that name. But whatever it is for you, try to focus on Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you love us. You love us more than we could love anybody. And Father God, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you that he was obedient to your voice and died on the cross to save us. And Jesus, we pray this morning that you will be with us and bless us as we worship together, as we bring our praise and our thanks to you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Just like to read a couple of verses of Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry of mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. I'd like to read that again, if you would allow me. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. As we come to our worships in song this morning, please feel free to sit or stand. And we're going straight through with 1, 2, 3, 4 songs. So just feel free to worship as you feel led. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you.
Down into the
Jesus, take me as I am. Make me like a breath.
to sit down, please. Thank you. The presence of God is very powerful this morning. We come to this table this morning. You've worshipped and you've praised God. And as we have communion, it's your time to have that personal reflection on what Jesus has done for you. So before we start, let's just have a few moments of quiet. Pray quietly in your heart if you feel led that way. But let's just be quiet for a few moments and think about what we've just been singing. And think about Jesus. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. In Luke's account, 22, verses 14 to 15, says this: when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. All are welcome at this table who know and love the Lord. If you're not at this point, feel free to let the wine and the bread pass you by. Could I have the servers please come? Thank you. I think Shirley, you're on. Andrew will bring our prayer.
Lord Jesus, as we gather round this table, we don't do it out of religiosity or the first Sunday. We do it because you've said, do this in remembrance of you. We remember your sacrifice that you paid for each one of us, that whilst we were all still sinners, you took the punishment that we deserve upon yourself. By your blood being shed, you've cleansed us from all our sin. Jesus, this morning as we gather, we say thank you, but it seems so inadequate for all that you did and suffered for us. But this morning, Lord Jesus, we again just say thank you for the price you paid for us. Amen.
Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And gave it to his disciples, saying, take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we come to your table trusting in your mercy and not in any goodness of our own. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table. But it is your nature always to have mercy and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may live forever in him and he in us. Take the bread as you receive it and hold on to the cup as we share together. Thank you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for his people. Amen. We sing our next hymn, Thank You for Saving Me. That's great. And I think children, there are more children in the congregation, really. And Stephen's going to be talking about shining lights this morning. And I've got one shining light, but I'm not sure if it's going to work. Let me see. Oh, dear. Oh, yes. Yes, it works. I've got another shining light as well. Those of you who've got your mobile phones, would you like to find them, please? Mobile phones, come out your pockets, out your handbag. And however you do it, just try to find the light on your phone. Mine is totally different to yours, but I do get one when I get there eventually. It's coming. There we go. Come on, hold them up. Let's see those lovely lights. Look round at the lovely lights. And you know, that's how Jesus wants us to be, shining lights in the world. And children, there's a piece of paper that you've got, and it says, what things give us light? Now, I can think of lots and lots of things. So if you can think of some things or draw them, it's even better. I was never very good at drawing, but I'm sure you're much better than I ever was. But think of some of the things that give us light. And afterwards, I've got something else for you to take home. Ooh. I don't know whether I'll let the grown-ups have any, because I don't, you know. Jean, would you come and bring scripture for us, please? Thank you.
Right, so the reading this morning is on page 1179. It's Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act, in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
Just pray for Stephen as he brings the word. Father, we just thank you for the word that you've laid on Stephen's heart. And we pray, Lord God, that you will open his mouth and you will fill it. And thank you, Lord. Give us listening ears to hear. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Better? Can you hear me now? Over the last couple of nights, what have you seen outside your windows? Fireworks, fireworks. You may have heard some bangs and some whooshes of fireworks, but the most impressive thing will have been the lights. Beautiful, coloured, bright, unexpected sometimes, and stunning. You have to wait for them until it's dark. Fireworks aren't very good during the daylight hours, but at night time you can really appreciate their brightness. And that's the picture that Paul has painted for us in the reading we've just heard. Shining like bright lights. And that's the theme for today's service, is shining like stars. Therefore, Paul says, it's that word again. We mentioned it last week. Therefore, because of what's gone on before, this is what I want you to do. If you read on, if you read when you get home for homework, what was before, it was talking about Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. God says, I want you to have the same mindset as Jesus, who, although being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage, but he made himself nothing, a human being, a man, a servant, who was humbly obedient to God. And obedience meant dying, dying on a cross. So that's just what's happened. In view of all that, God is calling us to be someone and to do something. It's really looking interesting looking out today, because there's a whole lot of people I don't know. It's great. It's lovely to see people I don't know here. And God is calling you to be someone and to do something. What is it we're called to do? Who are we called to be? Firstly, we are called to be an obedient people. Who likes being obedient? Are there many wives here? Are there many husbands here? David, you and I are one on this. We know we have to, and we love to be obedient to our wives. Oh, wait, David, excellent. Excellent. You can see who runs these households, can't you? Yeah. An obedient people. Two Sundays ago, we looked at God's command in Paul's letter to the Romans for us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Thanks to Ian, it's on the website. You can listen to the message there. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Last Sunday, we looked at God's command in Paul's letter to the Ephesians for us to live as children of light by the power of the Holy Spirit. This means being obedient people, doing what pleases the Lord. Paul commends the Philippians, the people in the church in Philippi, for obeying the Lord while he was with them. But he's now challenging them to carry on obeying the Lord, while he's not with them. He wants them to work out their salvation in fear and trembling, because it's God who is at work in them to will and act to fulfill his good purpose. That's the only way God's purposes are going to be fulfilled, by people being obedient to him. And Paul wants the Philippians to be obedient, not out of a cowering fear, afraid that God is going to smite them, afraid that a cruel, unjust God will beat them up if they're disobedient. No, he wants them to obey God out of a reverent fear that he is the Mighty One, the Holy One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God is our loving Father, and he's a friend, but he's not a mate who's equal with us. He is creator of the universe. From our experience, I'm talking about Leslie and I, my wife and I, it was one thing for our children to be obedient to us when we were with them, to keep them in line. But it was a completely different matter when they were somewhere else. And the lovely thing was, they came back and people said, "Oh, your children are good." I was talking about this to someone the other day. Oh, yes, it was Sammy, Barbara's granddaughter, Sammy Jo, who's got a lovely Evelyn, who's about two, but she's got two older boys. And she said, "It's amazing. They're with friends, they're with other people, they come back, oh, they've been so good. They walk through the door, transformation, and they're appalling." And I said to her, to encourage her, "That's because you are a safe place for them to be naughty." Same happened to Leslie and I. Good as gold somewhere else, grotty with us sometimes, but only a little. But it was because they knew they had a call to be obedient. They let God in early when they were 5 years old, for Maria and always for Rachel. And they wanted to please the Lord. And they were obedient children. Praise God, whether we're with them or whether we weren't with them. Our grandchildren, we now have. Oh, that's interesting. I had my first to-do with one of our grandchildren. I had to raise my voice, and as usual, went a bit too far, said that she shouldn't get any breakfast if she didn't behave. Unless he told me, you're not going to stop my grandchildren having a breakfast. But it was, in case she's listening to this, she stuck her tongue out at me. That has never happened before. I wanted to make sure it never happened again. But their parents said to them, what have they been like? And we said they've been great. Because they had. She learned very early, you don't do things like that. So do we behave differently when the pastor's around? When our spouse is around, our parents are around, our children are around, a good friend is around, when a previous pastor's around, do we behave differently? God calls us to be obedient. So we were to be an obedient people and a shining people. A shining people. Paul wants all the believers in Philippi to shine. And he says, you'll do that if you obey God in two things. And the first one, this is one of those ones that you might like to tear out of your Bible, if you're that sort of person. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do everything without complaining or arguing, as many of us will have translated. Ooh. God knows what we are like. He is mindful that we are but dust. Yet he calls us to be holy like he is holy. And he wants us to be blameless, pure children of God. Have you grumbled yet? Have you argued yet? Perhaps you haven't met anybody to complain to or argue with yet. You've got people right next to you now. Get one. No, don't get one in now, quick. If you haven't done it yet, don't start now. Jesus did everything without grumbling, complaining, or arguing in a destructive form of argument. He did debate and that sort of thing. That's not what we're talking about. Grumbling, complaining, arguing, be stroppy. He quietly went to the cross. We're told that like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he was silent. Pilate was amazed. Pontius Pilate was amazed that he said nothing when anybody falsely accused him as he went to the cross. And he's the one to follow. He's the one to be like. And Paul writes this wonderful verse to the Ephesians. I've forgotten about this one. I came across it. Oh, this is wonderful. I thought about typing them out for you today. Perhaps you can go home and look it up. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Communion is a wonderful time to remember. That's what we're doing. Do this in remembrance of me. And remember that Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we look at Jesus, when we look like Jesus, in our actions, our attitudes, our character, our love. When we become pure and blameless children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, a perverted and depraved generation, we do shine like stars in the universe. That's what we're meant to do. We are unexpectedly bright, beautiful, stunning, like the fireworks in a dark and evil world. Leslie and I, we often discover Christians. Have you done this? On the news, on the telly, or just walking down the road. You discover Christians who reveal their presence, their identity as followers of Jesus by their behaviour. Their gentleness, their humility, their generosity, their forgiveness, their patience. The character of Jesus shines out. We often say, that's a Christian. A bit later on, they'll do it. I thought it was really interesting. Who watched Strictly Come Dancing last night? Did you hear the confession of faith?
Yes.
Yes. If there's two things that you can do, the second one, I think, was do a whatever dance he was doing. The first one, this is for the guy from Billy, I think, from EastEnders. Bobby from EastEnders. Two things in your locker. One is the rumba, but the first one, he said, is a relationship with God. Hallelujah. So you watch him shine. You watch him shine. Do you want to shine for Jesus? Do you want to shine? Then don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't argue. That's what not to do. But Paul tells us we can do something to shine. And this is what we need to do. Hold out the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life in our church Bibles. My translation of the NIV is hold out the word of life. Both. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold out the word of life. That's what's written on the front of our church. Holding out the word of life. On the top of our Keep You in Touch, our newsletter. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we hold firmly to the word of life and we hold out the word of life. Quickened, made alive by the Holy Spirit, God's word convicts us and others of sin, righteousness and judgment. God's word, quickened by the Holy Spirit, reveals Jesus to us and to others. It creates faith to save. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's how we hear, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So what does it mean to hold out the word of life? We first need to read and hear it. Then we need to receive it and believe it for ourselves. And then we need to share it with others. Giving out a Bible or a New Testament. I meant to say, David, we run out of New Testaments. We need more New Testaments. Good news for everyone. We give away New Testaments. We can give away Bibles. We can give away Bible reading notes. There's lots of them on the table out there. We can give a Christmas leaflet to a neighbour. I'm just about to produce our new Christmas leaflet. It's going to be great. It's Jesus, the greatest gift. And you could give that to someone. It'll have God's word in it. You can share your story and the word that God has spoken to you. You've already heard us say several times, our newcomers, our visitors today won't have heard me say, but my wife and I, God has recently done amazing things in healing. And the word was given, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That word created faith. That word is holding me and holding us. I had to tell you, I wasn't sure if to tell you this, but we're not too late. It's a great story. It's a great story. God had said to us, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. We believe that. That's true. God had said to Leslie, word, John 11, verse 4, this sickness will not end in death. Although it was terminal cancer, 3 to 6 months to live, that was the word that God spoke to us. And we've held on to that word. We believe that word. We had one CT scan, which was clear. And I had another one to do on Saturday. And it brings up anxiety. No, God has healed me. He said it. So I said to you last Sunday, the CT scan will be clear. Went to the hospital on Tuesday. People outside the porta cabin. That looked weird. Loads of people out of outpatients. Suspected gas leak. Smell of tar, I think it was, but it smelled like gas. Everybody outside the building. I thought, okay, God, I need this appointment. I need, you know, to reassure us, to bring closure. Over to you. Saw a lady we knew from the Idle Games Club, Coral, who's been here before. I was talking to her, kept my eyes on the door, and my surgeon, Mr. Cunliffe, comes out. Hi. He sees me, I sees him. He says, walk down this way. So we walk down the driveway, beyond all the people, and he says, your CT scan is clear. Yes. And he said, we'd like you to have another one in 3 months' time to repeat it. I said, no, because Jesus has told me I'm clean, and we've done two, but it's not an emotionally neutral thing to do to have a CT scan. Anyway, at that point, Dr. Cole comes along, clinical oncologist, who presumably was going to come to my consultation. I don't know, but she'd heard about me at the local multidisciplinary team, and she now says why I ought to have a CT scan. And I say to her, no, because Jesus has healed me, and I'm not going to have another one because I've done it once. I am clean by the word God has spoken to me. I gave her a test beneath her, and I gave Mr. Cunliffe a test beneath her, which I'll tell you about later. And then Amy comes up. She is the McMillan nurse that's allocated to me, as they do with all cancer patients. And I knew, I've shared our faith with her before, and I said, yeah, I'm already clean because of what God's spoken to me. So no, I won't have another CT scan. But thank you so much for what you've done. And she said, it's no lack of faith. I said, no, it's no lack of faith. It's not about lack of faith to have a CT. It's simply, I don't need one. So 25 past 11, everyone's gone back in the building. My consultation wasn't due to start until I passed. So I said, do I need to come in? He said, no, I'll write to you. See you in 3 months. It's supposed to be once a month. It's now 3 months. Consultation done. As I shared this story with Barbara Bryant's granddaughter at Toddlers on Wednesday, she gave a prophetic word without realizing it. You didn't even need to go in the building. You don't need to go into the hospital anymore because you're here. And it was God's word that has created faith that has held us through all that time. Later on, God also gave us an explanation, partial explanation, of why this has happened. Why he allowed dreadful news to be shared, which has stayed with Leslie very powerfully, and which has we've had to pray to be lifted off. And it's like Jesus said to Lazarus, to his disciples, when he said about Lazarus not dying. He says, no, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified. It sounds difficult, but for whatever reason, God has chosen things for us to go through, allowed us to go through, to bring him glory. We might think it's not a good way of doing things, but God is God. He's God. So, our prayer all the time is, what is God saying to us in every health situation, in every ministry situation, in every situation? What is God saying? This is the prayer before Toddler Cafe, Friday Coffee Morning, Sunday Services, Renew, Messy Church, Brigades, Children's Church, anything else we do. God, what are you saying? And what are we about to pass on to others? Matthew Brake of the Salvation Army, the captain, at the early morning prayer meeting, he said that's what they do before their toddler group and their coffee morning lunch club. Lord, what are you saying? So we can speak your word. God's word will not create faith locked in a closed Bible or a closed mouth or a closed heart. But God's word will always accomplish what he sends it out for. All we have to do, guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit, is hold it out. Now, I have to ask you to have a think about doing something. We have some pre-printed leaflets that have on them some church details. It says, my story. And you open it, and it says, open this up to discover how I discovered God's love in my life through Jesus Christ. And another version says, open this page up to discover how God calmed the storms in my life. So they're pre-printed. So you open it up, and there's a story. Now, we've been blessed to have David and Ian and myself and Joan write those stories out. And so I've given loads away recently. I've done a new one for this situation. And it's just so easy to say, Oh, this is what's been going on. My story. Christine Bewley, Hilary Ray, Gay Kennedy, all did their stories. You'll see a couple of them outside. But their stories aren't being told by them anymore. Would you like to have something with your story? Christine Legg also did one. Would you like to have your story, whatever God tells you to put down, on a bit of paper that you can, when you have a bit of a conversation, you think, okay, this might be a good opportunity. Have a read of that. Because when you've given it, they can just read it in their own time. It's not a challenge. It's not an imposition. It just means you can say more than you can say in that quick conversation. They're all on the table. There's a sign-up sheet. If you think, yes, I'd like one of these, do sign up. So, we're told to be an obedient people, a people of light, shining like stars, and rejoicing people. Yes, obedience can be hard. Yes, not grumbling, not complaining, not arguing can be hard, can be difficult. Yes, holding out the word of life to people who reject it or reject us can be hard, but the results are worth it. And I like this. All the way through the New Testament, you see this. This is the deal. Glory to God, joy for us. That's a good deal, isn't it? Glory to God, joy for us. We had that beautiful song, Jesus, take me as I am, giving glory back to you. That's what we're here for. You didn't realize, maybe some of you, what you came here for. Today, God expects you to give glory to him. And when you do, you will be full of joy. Paul wants to boast when Jesus returns, not of how great he's been, but that he did not run or labor in vain. That what he did in God's power has brought glory to God and joy to people. Paul wants the Philippians to be glad and rejoice too. To know that they have not run or labored for nothing. They've not wasted their lives in the darkness, but they've shone like stars. And that's why he wants them to be an obedient, shining people. I just have a think. Those of you who have a relationship with God, where you know he has used you to bring glory to him, just think of a moment when you know God used you to bring glory to him. I'd be very surprised if that doesn't put a smile on your face. Glory to God, joy to you. And lastly, and this is the good news as well, we are all in this together. We are all in this together. At this point, I normally say, and I'll say it now, could you just have a quick look at who's here? Because a lot of you, you've got people behind you. We have one man who came to church regularly, and nobody knew him apart from the back of his head, because he always sat in the front row. So this is your opportunity to see the front of people's heads rather than the back of it, okay? Hi, guys, on the balcony. There are people below you, and people at the back, there are people above you. The Apostle Paul and the church he planted are in this together. Sacrificing and serving. Paul talks about being poured out like a drink offering. Now, what does that mean? Bear in mind, the people he was talking to was the church in Philippi, which is not full of Jews. There's lots of Gentiles who didn't know anything about the Jewish law and the customs and sacrifices and so on. So what does drink offering mean? Now, I only had the opportunity to look up two references. And there may be more. Somebody really wants to do some sophisticated homework, look up drink offering and see how many times you find it. Leviticus chapter 23 describes the offerings for the Feast of First Fruits, later called Pentecost, Harvest Festival. God required there to be a sacrifice of a year-old lamb without defect as a burnt offering. Added to that was a grain offering. Flour and olive oil. A pleasing aroma, it was described. And its drink offering, which was a liter of wine. The lamb, the grain, and the wine were all offered together. They had to be all offered together for that sacrifice to be acceptable. In the same way, in Exodus 29, God tells Moses that every day, every morning, every evening, there should be a sacrifice presented to God. A year-old lamb without a defect, an offering of flour and olive oil, and its drink offering. The drink offering that belongs to the flour and olive oil offering. And that would be a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. Why is this relevant? Well, Paul obviously thought it was relevant, that's why he wrote it. Paul is giving us a wonderful picture of unity. I'd never thought about this before, but it's great. We are all in this together. Jesus is who? The Lamb without defect, given to take away the sins of the world. A fragrant offering, as we've just heard from Ephesians. He willingly gave up his life. The Lamb is there. The church at Philippi is making their offering of sacrifice and service alongside the Lamb. And its drink offering, always offered with it, is Paul, who is being poured out for the Lord. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from prison. He is in chains. Taken together, and only together, these sacrifices were a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So the same is true now. We are all in this together. Jesus has led the way. Paul and the churches he planted have followed on. And now throughout all the world, all those who put their faith in Jesus sacrifice and serve the Lord together. As we do so, we are a pleasing aroma to the Lord. I mentioned last week there's a lovely children's song called We're a Bright Light Together. Together with Jesus we'll shine. It's also got in it, and we're going to sing it in a moment, We're a Swell Smell Together. With the fragrance of Jesus. Wow. That's the plan. That's the plan. We are in this together. We don't sacrifice and serve. We don't struggle and persevere. We don't go all through the stuff we go through on our own. We do it together. That's why God put churches together. Little churches as well as big churches, as well as the church. As we sing that song, let's give ourselves to the Lord in willing obedience, shining as we become more and more like Jesus, and as we hold out the word of life and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us rejoice that our running and our laboring is not in vain, but will bring many people to faith in Jesus for the day that Christ returns. Let's pray. Lord, for your glory, we want to be an obedient people. For your glory, we want to be a shining people. As we don't conform to the world's way of doing things, we don't grumble or complain and argue, but we hold out the word of life. To your glory, we want to be a rejoicing people. And we want to be a united people. Bearing one another up, helping one another, spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Lord, may you do this work in us for your glory and our joy and for the salvation of the world. Amen. There are actions to go with this. We're a bright light together. With the light of Jesus we shine. We're a grand, you've all got a guitar this morning, we're a grand band together, all right? With our friend Jesus, it's fine. We're a swell smell together. It's the fragrance of Jesus we share whenever we are together. Jesus is specially there. So you've got flags, if you haven't got a flag, you can't give any excuse not to play guitar and have the action. So let's do this together. Thank you.
your strength. We're a bright
light, together with the light of Jesus we shine. We're a grand band together, with our friend Jesus it's fine. We're a swell smell together, it's the fragrance of Jesus we share. Whenever we are together, Jesus is specially there. Even before time began, we were part of God's great plan. Cause of Jesus we would be part of his great family. You'll enjoy the sport into the actions. We're a bright light together, with the light of Jesus we shine. We're a bright band together, with our friend Jesus it's fine. We're a swell smell together, it's a fragrance of Jesus we share. Whenever we are together, Jesus is specially there. Even
down, please, just for a moment.
We need to sit down.
Okay, we've had a great time with the Lord this morning, and we're all happy, and we've had a wonderful time, and that's good, because that's what God wants for us. But as we're fully aware, there are many nations at the moment that are not happy. There are many nations in distress. And I would just like to take the opportunity of reading before we pray for other nations. You don't have to name the nation, but if you know of a nation or a country that you're concerned about, feel free to do it. But I'd just like to read to you a word that was given at the last worship evening on a Wednesday. Justice will be served in all nations, from all nations I will arise. And that's of course talking about Jesus arising. So as we pray, let us focus on those who are being hurt and in danger, but let us focus and understand that God is in control. We may not understand it, but he is still in control. But please pray for those who are hurting and in danger, and we just take these few moments to do that. If you want to pray quietly, that's fine. If you want to pray out loud, that's fine. But when you pray out loud, please pray loudly so everyone can hear, so we can say amen. I'll just open in a really short prayer. And if you feel led to pray out loud, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that we have in our land. We thank you, Father, that you're fully aware of every situation. So as your children this morning, we want to bring those nations and countries before you. We thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers and you will answer them according to your will. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the Ukraine in the light of everything that's been going on, that conflict has seemed to have been pushed aside a bit, Lord. But the suffering is still there and the fighting is still there. Please bring peace to Ukraine. Amen.
Amen.
I want to pray for all the small children. particularly that little boy who was had been injured and he just wanted his mummy. And I don't think mummy was there anymore. So, Lord, just bless him. I don't know his name, but bless him, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
As you look at this world, Lord, you must want to cry. Where there's so much hate. And we see this every time we turn the television and read a paper. We just see the things that are happening in this world. You brought us, each one of us, into this world that we may enjoy the time we have with you. And all that people want to do is fight, cause death, evil. So we ask for this evil to be taken from this world. It's not in this world, it was never in it. Lord, we take and bow to you. We thank you for your hand in all things, but we particularly lift up this world to your blessing.
Amen.
Father, I want to pray for the generation that's growing up as children and teenagers today. Father, they're growing up around them in these countries where there is war and hatred, particularly thinking of Palestine and Israel, where they actually hate each other. Father, I pray for breaking this cycle. The generation growing up, the young people that will become the men of tomorrow, the women of tomorrow, I pray, Jesus, that they will have a different view of each other in this world. And that's the only way we're going to get close, Jesus, is if the next generation sees it.
Amen.
Father, we pray for your salvation to come to these nations and these countries and the people within them, many, many thousands. And Lord, for us, it seems impossible, but with you, all things are possible. Reveal yourself, Father, to the leaders of these nations and countries. And Father God, we just say, bring peace. And Lord, again, we're fully aware that peace will come when a person gives their life to you. So we pray again, Lord, for salvation to come in our own country and to all those other countries that you have placed on our minds this morning and our hearts. And we thank you, God, that we come to a God who hears, who listens, and answers. But we want that in your appointed time and in your will, Lord. Help us to continue to pray for those who suffer. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear their cries. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Have I got anybody's picture at all? I've given out the flags already, but anybody got a picture that I could see? May I see yours? Because you were busy going like that, weren't you? Excuse me for stepping down here. Oh, fireflies. Oh, there's fireflies. Wow. A torch, stars, the sun, the moon. Oh, the moon was lovely the other night. It's beautiful. Strip lights. Well done. You noticed the strip lights. That's well done for remembering. That's good. The phone, a candle, lots of lights. A lighthouse, that's a fantastic light. It goes round that and goes out into the sea to rescue people. So always remember about lights. Us as grown-ups can think, well, that's a children's thing. But actually, I'm always a little child. And I love little things like this. When God reminds me of the little things of life, it's wonderful, isn't it? And he's the light that we need to follow. And I hope that you're able to do that. And if you don't know anything about it at all and want to know, talk to Stephen or myself or any of the others. And I've got another picture here. Thank you very much. Oh my, that's very well done. Well, they both are. I'm no good at doing that. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give them all the clap that's worked hard for me. Thank you very much. Yes, don't worry, David. It's all.
Would you like to give that
one back? That is beautiful. Wonderful, look at that. Ooh. The moon, I like the moon, it's beautiful. Very bright. Okay, I've been reminded twice this morning. So, I hadn't forgotten. Could we take up our offering, please? Thank you. God, we thank you and praise you that you supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. And Father, as we give these gifts back to you, Lord, we just pray that they will be used to the increase of your kingdom and many will be saved. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you've got the energy, but we're going to sing, Lord, the light of your love is shining. We haven't done it for a long time, so I want to see those lights shining this morning.
Truth.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.